detail, we pray, Father, we know that the Peter told us of him whom we have not seen, we love, and yet though now we see him not, we rejoice in him with exceeding great joy. If that is true, and we know it is, and many people claim that because they have not actually seen you, to really know you by revelation. Your revelation, as the scripture says, you revealed yourself to Samuel by the word of the Lord. And they've turned down that so completely, Lord, we know that they have actually not and are not in the position, Lord, to really love you and to worship you and to know you, even as there are a few people at the end time who do, those few that are likened unto those that went into Noah's Ark. We pray, Lord, there shall not be one of us here this morning who are deluded into believing that whom having not seen we love, and here we are in the last hour face to face by true word revelation, and then he's turned away, denied the very Lord that bought them. And we pray, Lord, we will not be in that category, but rather, Father, that we truly love that one who gave himself for us and truly love you who gave your only begotten Son, so that we might truly love you, O God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent, and thereby, Lord, be all one together in this word, even Jesus himself having said in that day, O know I am in the Father, you and me, and I in you. And that is true. We are coming into it more and more and more, and we'll see that, of course, in complete fulfillment of the wedding supper, which, Lord, we in our hearts long for. We may not know truly what we long for, but if there's a deep in here calling, we know there's a deep out there to answer. So help us in the study of the word this morning, Lord, that the entrance of thy word giveth light, and the hiding of your word in our heart keeps us from sin and evil. Grant these mercies in Jesus' name, we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, I think that perhaps last night, some of what I said might not be too clear, and I was trying to actually show the Alpha and Omega principle of seed planting and seed harvesting, that there is a seed planted and the seed has to come to harvest. And we see the seed book of Genesis, and of course we see the real harvest book in the book of Revelation, but also there's much said concerning the harvest in the two books of Thessalonians, which are dedicated to the second coming. And we see much in the book of Peter, the books of Peter, and also some in John, and then, of course, I mentioned the book of Revelation, which is preceded by the small book of Jude. And in there we see much of the Omega. This principle was certainly understood by the apostles. And they would have to understand, especially Peter, James, and John, from the Mount of Transfiguration, where they saw a preview of the Omega, which was already there in the form of the Alpha, where Christ had come to be a king of Israel, the Messiah, and he was most thoroughly rejected. As the scripture says, they both crucified and killed the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus had they received John, which was, had they received the revelation that John brought, which was to make ready a people prepared for the Lord, they certainly would have entered into that kingdom. But, of course, they missed it. Now, when you see the Omega, the Alpha of the birth of Christ, you see his ministry, see the ministry, and you see his rejection, you see his death and resurrection. All of that is in an Alpha situation. Now, we realize that the same one that's Alpha said, I'm Alpha and Omega, that same one who said that had a previous Alpha when he was by part in the prophets. God in divers ways and parts gave a revelation, God in the prophets. Then, of course, that Alpha series that started way back there in the garden when God was his own prophet, when he gave his word to Adam and Eve, and then he came and gave his, what you would call the prophetic word, which would be in the Greek, I suppose they call it the study of eschatology, which is a study of prophecy. God being his own prophet there in the garden, talking about that which Eve had left and despoiled, of stopping the word of God, bringing an interruption, spoke of that seed. All right, that Alpha there became the seed of the virgin, became the one born of the virgin, and there he stood there. Now, you'll notice that as he came to fulfill the word and bring in the fullness of the kingdom, which would have been a millennium. You see, we understand, as I showed you last night, that Adam and Eve were supposed to populate the whole earth, and the whole earth would have been filled with the two parents there, which would have brought four children, not necessarily by sex, but by word, spoken word, whichever way God had planned it, and of course the other way was available. So they went that way. All right. There was an interruption. The interruption by death showed there'd be a succession of generations coming up. Well, all right now, because they refused the Omega. See, now, from because of that, you're starting a new Alpha. And the Alpha goes now to the Gentiles. All right. This in mind, we spoke of the, not only the Gospels having an Alpha, which is in the ministry of Jesus Christ, the days of the Son of Man, but there was a prophecy in Matthew 12 of the repetition, and in Luke 17 of the days of the Son of Man. So, all right, that took place 2,000 years ago, and Brother Branham acquainting us with the truth, even as the angel acquainted the Virgin Mary with the actual truth of what that really meant, a virgin should bring forth a child, bring forth a son, and which would be Isaiah 9 and 6. Brother Branham came on the scene, and he unequivocally let us know that that God had obligated himself in Matthew 12 and in Luke 17 to do in the form of the Holy Spirit for the Gentiles what he had done in the form of flesh in the time of Israel. Now, remember, God is never flesh, but he took a form, and that form was literally the invasion and the complete takeover of the life of Jesus Christ, which he had every right and authority to do. Now, that is an Alpha there that comes in an Omega, and the Omega is when we crown him, when that Spirit that's in our midst becomes incarnate to us, we'll crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there again, you see the supreme deed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is where people get, well, we won't have time to discuss it, but people get very, very mixed up on Godhead. They simply think that I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm trying to teach two gods. I veered away from what Brother Branham taught. I got my own message. Well, they said that when I brought out the presence, which is merely the appearing. They simply cannot accept truth. They never have and never will. And you read what they write, you'll find out that there's no way you can take the tapes of Brother Branham and reconcile their testimonies. It just doesn't work. Because your testimony, anybody's testimony outside of William Branham, can be fraudulent. I don't care how glorifying it is to God. Many will come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have me cast out devil. We won thousands of people. Oh, we just turned the world upside. He said, get out of here. Huh? All right, we're looking at Alpha and Omega. So the Alpha way back there in the flesh becomes the Omega in this hour, where Brother Branham said God has promised to reveal himself in human flesh again. And he's done it. God in the prophets. Now, who's going to believe that? The days of the Son of Man. The presence. Who's going to believe it? They don't believe it. They can't believe it. They're not Virgin Marys. The womb of the mind is so cluttered and corrupted with corruptibility. And where did corruptibility come from? Corrupted word. Even Michener said, when the language is corrupted, there's nothing left. You know, as this started back in the days when my kids were entering their teens, you know, you had to say the word bad to mean bad. If there was a certain inflection there, it meant good. How many remember that? Am I the only old nut here? Well, thank you, Russ. Oh, and even Don knows about it. You were doing it, I suppose. I'm sure glad you repented, son. Well, that's what it takes. But you see what I mean? The language being corrupted, it's gone. As soon as the word of God was corrupted, Eden and the God race was finished. Until something happened. You're interrupted. Okay, now, going and looking at another Alpha and Omega. Now, remember that Jesus was begotten of God. This day have I begotten thee. And he turns to the Son and he said, let us make man in our image. Now, he wasn't talking to himself. No matter what anybody tries to tell you. He could have been talking to the archangels. They could have been listening at that point. I don't know, and I personally really don't care. But the Father was talking to the Son. All right. There's another place where it says, this day have I begotten thee, in the sense he has been begotten from the dead. He died. But being born of incorruptible seed, there's no way he could corrupt. Why? Because God couldn't let it. No way. So it lay there for 3 days, no corruption, and he rose. And when he rose, that was the only time the order of the priesthood could be changed. Now he's the high priest. Now the high priest has to offer blood. So when he rose, everybody but Brother Branham categorically makes the statement, absolutely, he took the blood and put it in the mercy seat. Brother Branham did say that, but he also said the blood was upon the ground and returned the elements. So the point is this, I'm not worried too much about blood in the mercy seat or blood off the mercy seat. I just know one thing, the blood was shed for the sacrifice of sins, and it was accepted by God because he raised him from the dead. Now, when he raised him from the dead, he became a priest after the order of Melchizedek, which is king of righteousness and king of peace, but nonetheless a priest unto God, high priest unto God. Now, how is he the high priest unto God? Because he mediates. And the priest had to mediate between God and men by the offering of blood and the continual mediation by the offering. But Christ, by one offering, entered into a place where he could mediate until the last seed was brought in. And he was intercessor on the grounds that he kept them in. Like Brother Branham saw that circle of blood around the earth, mediating his own Passover, so to speak. All right. So, on the grounds of what we were looking at, I was bringing your attention last night, and what I would have had to do, because really I had a couple of pages of notes and I simply threw them away, and I meant to throw them away and not use them, but it was too intriguing not to use them. And so I brought out some thoughts I had in my mind, which I really should not have done, because I didn't have them to the place where I could explain them that thoroughly, and I really don't even want to. But I took you over here to the book of Hebrews, the 5th chapter. What I should have done was gone chapter by chapter to show you how everything leads up to a certain point, and then you have interpolations. And interpolations will throw you for a loop. Now listen to me. Perfect homiletics is where the preacher, which homiletics is the art of public speaking, of which preaching is the highest order. Now, the first law of homiletics and public speaking is never stray from your notes. And your themes, stream of thinking. Because you could forget where you took a small tributary and left the river, and you might not get back to the river. You might find yourself hanging up on a limb with the alligators jumping at you. Interpolations are rough, rough, rough. And I showed you where in 1 John 3, if you don't watch the interpolations, you will end up completely confused about what worship is all about. And you go off on the tangent, love, 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 and you don't even know what love is. Not realizing that love wasn't it. Cain didn't have any love, period. He was an animal mixed up with a man. And when you get a man and animal mixed up, you've got the most cunning, foul, cruddy thing under God's high heaven. Because he will be thoroughly instinctual, which means he will satisfy every lust he's got. Grab, grab, rape, rape, steal, steal, kill, kill. And now he's got the cunning to do it. That's why he got these high-powered, rotten, lousy liars, and they're all in Congress. Almost, 90% of the Congress are liars? I mean lawyers? I really did have a stumble of the tongue that time. That wasn't put on. It was down here, so it came out. All right, look. So we understand the interpolations are dangerous. Now, there is no interpolation here that I'm going to look at in the first four chapters and the fifth chapter of the book of Hebrews. But he's talking about Jesus, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, the interpolation here is a rough one, because right away it piques your curiosity, and you're going to start looking around to solve this mystery, and you have no right to, because it's reserved for the age of strong meat and maturity, which is not in any generation of any person from the first church age on, though he lived to be 100 years of age, like Polycarp. Well, let's go further down the line to some other person, because you can't have it. It doesn't break until the end of the age, the seventh church age. For when the time they ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first prince of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Right away they say, oh, I can take strong meat. I can get this. You're just full of your own self-deceit and your spiritual pride. For everyone that uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belong to them that are full age. Now you go to full age, and you will go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And you don't go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter at this point. Ain't no way. Because when you go to Ephesians 4, every joint has supplied, every church age has given the message, and you come right to capstone. This is 6 ages away from capstone, if I'm reading my Bible right and understand Brother Branham. Because Melchizedek came under one of the seven seals, right? Well, come on, did or did it not? See, you don't believe Brother Branham. He said, well, see, I could get this. And really, Brother Branham was misappropriating. And let's face it, Brother Bale. He talked about marriage and divorce being under the seventh seal. And he talked about this under the seven seals. And don't you know, I can go back to 1953 and 4 and 5 and find this very thing here. So Brother Branham's just lying. Well, be my guest. If he's a liar, I'd hate to, honest to God, I'd hate to go in the witness dock with some of you people, or myself, or any of us. If he's a liar, what are we? Yeah. You got to make your mind up. Now, this is the point where I said you can die into my ministry. Because I teach word for word what Brother Branham taught. I elaborate to no end. And you can leave here thinking you know as much as I do or more, and I can think I can leave here thinking I know as much as Brother Branham, even more so, because I elaborate upon it as a teacher. And remember, he said, you younger people, take this out and break it down to the people who need to teach on and so on. Many people misunderstand this. You can down to my ministry. You can leave here thinking you know more than you know. You're smarter than you are. You get just a bunch of head knowledge here, nothing down here where the character is, where this word is outworked in your lives. Now, that statement's going around today. People don't understand what it means. You can die into my ministry. They think, well, you'll die because Lee Bale's got death in the pot. If I get death in the pot? When did I say, contrary to the word of God, that Jesus' soul is a pillar of fire? You check it up and find what I said. It's all on tapes. And if I've deceived you, you come to me and you find out. If I've changed anything from the truth of Brother Branham taught, going back in the beginning, on Godhead or any other subject, you're going to find that's not so. And of course, I can teach far better now than when I was looking at that in the first place. See, the word always corrects the error. Now watch. He said, but strong meat belongs to them that are full age. When does a person get to a full age? The Apostle Paul denied it. He denied it in Philippians, he denied it in Ephesians. All right? And watch, even those who by reason of use of their senses exercise, let me go a little back in, strong meat them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. Now, just a minute. Are you looking at a spiritual term of senses, or are you looking at the sensual? Man has five senses of the intellect to the spirit, into the body. He has five to the soul. And you'll find the senses on the outside are your seeing and your hearing and your smelling and your tasting and your feeling. And every single one of those can lead you down the primrose path to hell. So Paul is not saying that. All right. You're going to have a spiritual sight. You're going to have a spiritual taste. You're going to have a spiritual hearing. You're going to have a spiritual feeling. No one denies that you can have all of those five senses in the realm of the spirit, where because you've got the sixth sense, which is faith. Now, so we don't believe for 1 minute as Paul is telling you here, that there is just something that you can utilize on your own at a certain time that you're going to be able to know this. Now, if you want to know this, it's in the chapter preceding. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharp, and any two-edged sword, piercing even asunder the soul and spirit, and joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, that's what you are looking at, where your senses are exercised. And it says right then, at this particular time, you understand. As when I talked to Brother Branham, I said, Brother Branham, it is my estimation. It wasn't a guesstimation, it was an actual estimation. That those who have made you Jesus Christ on the day of judgment will be far better off than those that completely repudiated you, not just those that called you the devil, but did not see God in you at all. These men saw something and misplaced it. I did not know he'd already said that on a tape. All right, these people can use their senses only so far, and when they do, they misjudge because it is not the spiritual. So what he's saying here now is when that which is full, the fullness is come, when you are of full maturity, you can now use your senses properly because the word is fully manifested, and thereby you know now and you can judge. You don't have to wait to eternity. You're before the white throne now. When he shall judge the world by one Christ Jesus, who is the Word. It's being done right here. It's been done through the prophet. God did it. The judge of all the earth. It was the judge of all the earth that stood before Abraham. And Abraham recognized it. Shall the judge of all the earth not do right? God's not some crooked, corrupt judge for a nickel or a dime. You think he'd have called out the fire on Sodom? There was no way. There's no way he could call off the fire. All he could do is bring out the righteous, and the fire fell. You've got the same thing right today. You got the Omega again from the Alpha back there. So what I'm trying to tell you is this. We looked at this thing as the Alpha and Omega. We saw him as the Alpha, which was the king, but he isn't king. He's just the high priest. But now, in this hour, when the Lamb as the high priest, Melchizedek, came from behind the throne, took the book out of the hand of him that sat on the throne, ripped off the seals and handed it back and climbed on the Father's throne, he is now waiting for the coronation. And the coronation will be at the wedding supper. When that spirit that's in our midst becomes incarnate to us, and we will crown him King of kings and Lord of lords. That will be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That will be the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of David. That will be the complete manifestation of Almighty God again, which you can only see in out here as per manifestation through creation and the effects thereof, that there is a God. You haven't got a clue to what kind of a God he is. No way you can tell anything unless you have a revelation. So what I was saying last night, and I threw a lot of scripture in here, which I should not have bothered you, but just simply cut it down to the bone, that we are seeing at this hour, in our time, we are literally seeing what it was said in the book of Acts. Now look at book of Acts, the third chapter, I guess it is. in the middle of the 19th verse. Now, so when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, even God shall send Jesus Christ at that time. This same Jesus Christ that was appointed unto you. Appointed unto you. The word is not preached. Whom the heavens must retain until the restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. And after that restoration has taken place, then that same one, Jesus, can come on down and will meet him in the air. And will meet him in the air by reason of the third part of 1 Thessalonians 4, which is the trumpet, the gathering together to the marriage supper and the taking up thereto. And at that time we crown him King of kings and Lord of lords. Now that is that Melchizedek. Now actually, then the bare essentiality. You see that the one that made a human body by taking some dust and blowing on, as Brother Branham said, and stepping in that body. And I want you to notice something. That one that was Melchizedek, in whom God dwelt, he was the priest of the Most High God. He had no father, no mother. And Brother Branham pinpointed him as God. Said how he got that body. And you will notice he had a kingdom on earth. He dwelt among men. He had a throne, he ate, and he drank. And that's how we're going to eat the communion and drink the wine. The bake the bread and drink the wine, just shortly, when he's crowned king. I believe they'll serve that right at the wedding supper. So you see, when you see all these alphas, there's got to be an omega. Now the point is, if you're confused on the alpha, go to the omega. If you're confused on the omega, go to the alpha. And don't worry what's in between. See, I've taught that and taught it from Brother Branham's precepts, what he laid down. He said, don't give much consideration to what's in between. And the Bible does not say A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. It says A and Z. Then if A started, it'll end with A, who becomes Z. What do you care what's in the middle? Didn't Jesus say, I came from God and go back to God? Where do we come from? But he doesn't go back the same way he came. Neither do you and I. So, all right, we were looking at that, and I realized that I was trying to cover too much ground too fast, and I knew right away, I could tell in myself that I wasn't making the connection the way I should. And there's a lot in here I could bring to you all through the book of Hebrews. Not all the way, pretty well all the way through to show you what we are looking at. Because in the book of Hebrews, you come right to the omega. And it said, and it tells the Hebrews, he said, at this particular time, when you're able to take the strong meat, and plain English, the seals are open. The tough things are exposed. He said, that's the time. He said, you're standing before Mount Zion. You're ready for the liftoff. You see why Brother Branham took us right from this point, right through the millennium, past the white throne, right to the great throne, New Jerusalem, new heavens, and new earth. People get mixed up because they think his chronology is all wet. They just don't know the understanding of the Roman candle, of the seventh seal. It bursts, and out of it bursts another and another, until you are right there in the New Jerusalem, around the throne. We're moving right now into the full scope of our position and what we are in Christ Jesus. Okay, now last night, again, we are at paragraph 3, paragraph 2, we finished that, on page 31. And in paragraph 2, we were noting the Virgin Mary's response to the Word of God in contrast to Eve's response. Where Eve questioned the reliability of the Word, Mary did not. Wherein Eve's questioning and reasoning led to doubt, unbelief, and disobedience, sin, and death, Mary's question was asked on the grounds as how she was to be a part of the promise of Isaiah 9 and 6, which the angel brought to her.
She's, oh, Horace, this can't be an angel. Oh my goodness. Oh, that doesn't happen. Isaiah, see? Not me. Oh, no. She neither ran screaming or threw up her hands in questions. She just simply wanted to know what her part was. How was my part in this? What will you have me to do? Okay, all these buzzard brains. What does God want the bride to do? That's your first part. You think you can play footsie with institutions, organizations? How do you come out? By your mind. Number one, by your mind. Repent. Eve's questioning and reasoning led to doubt, unbelief, disobedience, and sin and death. While Mary's question was asked on the grounds as to how she could be a part of the promise of Isaiah 9 and 6, and it led to bringing forth eternal life, because as Brother Branham said, from that point on she witnessed to the Word of God and her place and part in it, and she lost her popularity if she ever had any. She lost her respectability if she ever had any. She lost her reputation if she ever had any. She lost everything as far as the world was concerned, because they degraded her to being just a common prostitute who'd had an affair with a Roman soldier. This is the illegitimate son called Jesus. Brother Branham talks about it. He said, Mary, virgin mind, virgin womb. When the devil tried to tempt her at the end of at that time, the angel came to her and then said, you're going to have a baby. And Satan said, now you better be quiet about that. The angel said, it's an act of God. And she had no doubt thought of Isaiah 9 and 6, which says, behold, a handmaid of the, which, and she said, behold, a handmaid of the Lord. What's the result? Virgin birth, eternal word in her. And she brought forth eternal life. See? Now, her testimony was the scripture, to the scripture there. And as I said last night, we have a testimony also which is a believer supremacy. We stand the part that makes people say, who do you think you are? You're the only ones that's got it. Yes. And if those people had it, I would soon join them. But when they turn down that, or thoroughly misunderstand it, or try to hide behind it, tell lies and steal and everything else and run with women, don't come to me that you got a revelation. You're liars. Because I'm not lying, cheating, stealing, or running with women. I don't pretend I got anything except by the grace of Almighty God. And I'll confess it too, that it's not of works which we have done, any more than I tried to get myself born. Which you know is a complete impossibility. Okay. From that point on, she witnessed to the Word of God in her place and part in it. And we can see this in the book of Luke, the first chapter. Verses 38 to 55, and Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Now that's what you're looking at, be it unto me according to the word of the Lord at this hour, which the overall mystery is, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, where the trumpet shall sound, and that's exactly the truth. And the dead in Christ are going to rise. And at that time, this corruptibility, that which is in a state of corruption right now, is going to put on a halt called incorruptibility. Which are the famous spiritual T cells of life which come against the cells of death. Which is the true word coming against the off word. Now, the mystery was not explained until this hour. And the full revelation has come into view. And Mary rose in those days and went to the hill country with haste into the city of Jude and into the house of Zacharias through Elizabeth. And it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation to Mary, she no doubt hugged her and kissed her and said, you know, grabbed her and talked to her. The babe leaped in the womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed. See, this is pure prophecy. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. A woman can prophesy, but notice what she's doing. She's repeating, based on Scripture, the actual truth of what happened. She's reiterating it. And Mary, now watch Mary. My soul does magnify the Lord. This is called the Magnificat, they call it, yeah. Must have got that from Rome, I guess. My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. That's true. She blessed among women. For he that is mighty hath done great things, done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. Oh boy, she's really putting them down. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, exalted them to a low degree. Little common woman believing the word of God upsets the whole apple cart. Just like little Eve turning down the word of God upset, while she upset their apple cart. She rectified the apple cart that Eve upset. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. Go to, you rich men, weep and howl. The church is rich beyond expectation, owning it all. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, and he spoke to our fathers to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about so many months. All right. 3 months and returned to her own house. So here we read here, Mary has a testimony, even as you and I have a testimony, which we hold before the world and we hold it up before God. And remember, in this last day, all those people that gone before us, they cannot be made perfect unless we are. There's some better thing retained for us. We don't die. We have a promise of life. Some of us may die. It's very easy to understand. Remember, the old folk died off in the Exodus. Very possible we will too, all of us old timers. There's just a few of us left now. And the young ones go in showing the type in the book of Exodus. All right, Brother Branham says, Jehovah's pride, going to bring forth the son. They can't do it, see. They cannot do it with that mixed seed they've got. Now, Jehovah's bride absolutely got into sin, got mixed up, got mixed seed. How do you say, Brother Branham? In other words, he's out there asking the question, how was it? This morning you said Jehovah's bride committed adultery. So, all right, I won't leave it out. Let's watch real close now. We've got just about an hour to go, I guess. Now, I've got some over here. I'm just going to have to skip some notes. All right. Now, where did Jehovah's bride ever do wrong? All right, Jehovah sent what down to his bride in Egypt? In other words, who did he send down to Egypt? What did he send down? Because the what is a who. He promised Abraham that his bride, the seed, would sojourn in Egypt 400 years. Is that right? The time had come for the word to be fulfilled. And we are the time... Are we time for the word to be fulfilled? In other words, it happened back there. Is it ours now for deliverance to be taken out of this world here, even as they were taken out of Egypt? All right. How did they get the word? Did they form an organization, a bunch of men get together like priests and so on, and say, now, brethren, we will have a vote here, and if it's passed unanimously, that we're going to have an organization called the Pharisees, and through that, God's going to work. God never did do such a thing as that. He never did. What did he send them? He sent them a prophet. All right, let's begin to look at this. Brother Branham said, took it back right to Genesis chapter 15, and we're going to look at verses 13 to 16. So we're running in continuity with the prophet. God said to Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. Now remember, the same Bible calls us strangers and pilgrims and sojourners in our day. As they had the tabernacle in the wilderness, so do we also. We have no continuing city if we're seed of Abraham. Now it says, there they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come up with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come again thither. That's the time of generations, 100 years. Remember, the first generation was 1,000. Each day was 1,000 years. That was a generation. Now you've got it to 100. See, it fluctuates. But in the fourth generation, they shall come forth again, hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Okay? That's the promise. So let's go to the book of Exodus, the third chapter, where we're going to see the promise starts to open up and be fulfilled. Now, we start reading right away the third chapter. And now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and the priest of Midian. Now he wasn't a priest unto God in Israel. He was a priest in Midian, though. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mount of God, even to Horeb. Now, of course, these, of course, are the children of old Lot. And they were related to Abraham, and they had a certain amount of faith. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire in the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire. And the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I'll now turn aside and see this great sight. Why, the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. There again, he didn't run jumping, screaming down the road, hearing the voice. You tell somebody you heard a voice today, you know, you're pegged as a nut. And most people are. I've got no problem with that. When you got vindication from that voice, I'm going to pay attention because it's one of two sources. It's either God himself or to whom he lent the authority by reason of lying and stealing. Now, that's not Jesus. That's the devil. Because all power is to God. The devil doesn't have any power, but God let him have. Okay? Moreover, he said, I'm the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and heard their cry for reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them. Now, I am come down, me myself, to deliver them. I, God, Jehovah, have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good land, and a large land, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and Hittites, and Amorites, and Perizzites, and Hivites, and the Jebusites. And therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression therewith, wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore. Now I am come down to send thee. See, why don't you do your own work? And this is how God works. I come now, therefore. I will send thee unto Pharaoh. I am come down, and I am going to send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and I should bring forth the children out of Egypt? He said, well, hey, just a minute now. I thought you were going to do it. So why am I included in this thing here? And Moses looked for the back door. The front door just wasn't too good. He thought, I'll get out of here in the back door. You know, exit Moses. No? And God said, certainly I will be with you. We're going down together. Now that's interesting. Certainly I'll be with you. And this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee, and I am with you. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mount. Now, what does it mean, the token? He said, this is going to be a token that you're going to get here to this mount where you serve God. And at that particular point, Mount Sinai, is where they went, and they got the word of Almighty God. So now, why did you and I come out of Egypt? Out of Babylon? To get the word of God in order to serve it. Because Brother Branham said you can neither worship and serve God without a prophet. What do you mean, without a prophet? Prophet brings the word. See? And Moses said to God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel. Now notice, Moses is just like Mary. He wants to know. He doesn't say, hey, who do you think you're talking? You think you're going to fool me? He right away enters in to God in the Word. Now he wants to know the working of it. He doesn't back away and say, hey, no way, no way, no. He's not Eve now. That's why Moses is this great man, this great meek man. So he says here, I want to know something about this. No problem. See? When I come and tell them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What do I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Not was and will be, but the I am, the great I am. And God said more unto Moses, thou shalt send the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Now he's going to do something right here that is going to be the cornerstone of no matter whatever else happens at any time, anywhere. You can't get rid of this. Go and gather the children of Israel together and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, the great I am, that's what he says, and of Jacob appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and, you know, notice, I have surely visited you, and seen that which done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I'll bring you out of the affliction of Egypt, unto the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, unto a land flowing of milk and honey. In other words, a land of plenty. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Don't ever get the idea these guys were going to sit on a lot of nice soft sponges and breathe in vitamins. They were going to work because there's never a person I know that got any honey to eat unless he robbed the bees. And I never knew a guy who ever got any milk unless he milked the cow. And remember, synthetic honey and synthetic milk is for the birds, namely buzzards. He never said they didn't have to work. The millennium is a place where you work, but you won't necessarily sweat. But you will work. Yeah, you'll build your own house. You'll tend your own vines and fig trees. And there's certain seasons, you'll just open your mouth and the grapes drop in. You're going to have to pick them. You might even have to make wine. So anybody that doesn't want to work for a living, just don't figure on the millennium. There ain't no place for you. If you're too lazy to make a living right down here, you want to sponge on some, but I can tell you right now, you'll never make the millennium. You wouldn't like it anyway. Now, let me ask you a question. If you didn't get tired and your bones and your body wear out, does anybody here hate to work? Don't answer that question. You ain't going to make the millennium, I can tell you right now, you ain't fit for human company. I think anybody likes work of some description. Just like they said, the devil has lots of things for idle mischief, for idle hands to do. But as what I see in the scripture, these fellows were working the type of work that benefited nobody except those that were over them, like slave drivers. Now, you can say what you want, but the present system, no matter how hard the Democrats try, and the socialists try, and even the stupid conservatives get roped into it, there is no way that you can bypass the scripture that says, go to your rich men, weep and howl, your miseries have come upon you because you've held back the wages of the laborers. You can say what you want. It's been proven by every industry, as far as I know, what I have read. I've never read anything contrary to it. Where industry, that is the financier, with the capital, and the laborers joining hands, have a share in production and skim off some of the profits, that company survives and goes ahead, I imagine, until the union gets so greedy, they want all the dividends. And they want so much, there's no way to pay the investor back any good interest on his money, and he's worth interest on his money, the Word of God says so. Okay, that's a little by side point here I'm bringing out here on this, before you hit the millennium. Yeah, they shall hearken, it said, the land flowing of milk and honey. But you got to take care of the bees and milk the cows. And thou shalt hearken to, they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and he shall say so and so and so and so. Okay, now we just take you back to where Brother Branham was talking about this. Now, let's talk a little more here. What did he send them? Prophet. And the word of the Lord came to the prophet, raised him right up amongst them. Prophet. Anointed him, the prophet from whom he chose amongst the brethren, and vindicated the prophet that he anointed, having chosen him from among the brethren. Vindicated him right in the midst of all the devils are working with miracles and everything else, but Moses stayed with the word.
Okay.
Acts, the third chapter. For Moses 22, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto you. Him you'll hear in all things whatever he said to you. Now, here's the thing that Brother Branham had to continually fight. The prophet raised up from amongst the brethren. I preached this way back in about 1965 or 6. And I was thoroughly misunderstood. They said, well, Brother Dale, you're making Brother Branham Jesus Christ. I wasn't. I said, he, like Jesus Christ, was raised up from amongst the brethren. William Branham was amongst the people in America, his brethren, that God raised him up. Oh, you get people are so stupid. Twist everything you say because they haven't got anything up here to take it. Nothing down here except malice, envy, and ingratitude. And Brother Branham continually said, he's only a man. He's only a man. He's only a man. He's only a man. But I tell you, I'm full of the Holy Ghost, bless God. And your head is green, 4 miles wide, and your teeth like fence posts. With 1,000-watt light illuminating every. I got the Holy Ghost. That man had God. Oh, no. Oh, presumptuous. You know, I get so sick. Pardon me while I hold down my food I ate this morning, in case you get nauseated with me. Only a man. What do you expect? Oh, you'd sooner have Mr. Ed the Talking Horse on TV. Well, back when I looked at TV, it was entertaining, it was good, humorous, clean fun. If we had Mr. Ed all the time, I wouldn't mind TV. I don't think Brother Branham would either. Look at Israel back there. Look at the Alpha. Paul is preaching concerning the Redeemer mentioned by Moses. Beware, therefore, lest ye that come upon you which is spoken of the prophets. Behold, you despisers, and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, the vindicated work of God, though a man declare it unto you. I think the Bible should read, because a man declares it unto you. I'm going to look in the original, see if that isn't the truth. They looked at Jesus, well, he's just a man. We know where he came from. Yeah. He got a bunch of miracles in his bag, and boy, does he make himself something because he's got some miracles. Hey, we're too smart to get sucked in by that. If old Caiaphas could have pulled a few of those miracles out of his bag, he'd have had something to talk about. But he couldn't pull one miracle out. Yet he sat as a big judge. We're smart. We know. What do you know? Come on, prove it. I'm sick and tired of doctors that really don't know anything because most doctors don't know 1% of the human body. And I'm sick of mechanics. You know why? Because even the engineers that make the cars can't fix them. I'm just plain sick of stupidity. I should call it insanity. That's what Brother Branham called it. No, I don't hate mechanics and I don't hate doctors. Get that flat. I'm just telling you, I'm pretty sick of what you... Guy drives my car and he said, the shocks are perfect. I knew the shocks weren't perfect. One had frozen. It was already thrown me out of the the skylight. It was hitting me so hard, my back was about being killed and my stomach dropping down past my knees. I'd been herniated pretty soon. I thought, oh, nothing wrong. You think I'd take the car back there? Ha! What's three shocks cost, Jim? I think I need three more shocks. You think? And I'm sure the car isn't right even with one shock put on it. All right, I've read to you and showed you these things here that Brother Branham is trying to bring out. God raising a man amongst the brethren is what Jesus said. A prophet is not without honor save in his own country and amongst his own people. Hey, what kind of people did Jesus get reared amongst that they couldn't even begin to see God in them, man? That everything he did was became controversial. You know what happened when Jesus came? They saw their living going out the window. The whole world is going after this man. Oh, I know he can heal the sick and raise the dead and turn water into wine. But you see, listen, that's just a trap to get the people to look and get them away from us. We better kill him. Now, come on, I told you the truth. That's exactly what they said. Let the world out here produce what that man produced. Read that God produced in him. I ask you a question. Whose voice did God use? Thus saith the Lord. William Branham said, I was only the voice of one standing by when he did it. He said, not William Branham says, thus saith the Lord, and those things happen every time so perfectly without a miss. When they asked the question, Brother Branham, what did Jesus mean? When he said, he that has seen me has seen the Father, he said, you're looking at me, aren't you? Same to, oh, blasphemy. Oh, what horrible. Hey, man, could you honest, did you? Oh, it's right in print. I got it. You really said that? Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Who made a perfect car? Every part were just right and still works. Who built a perfect house? As Pete told me, it's so true. The first house you build for an enemy. I got that one right now. The second house you build for a friend. And the third you live in. Third time a charm. Isn't it true that the wonderful Saturn they built and then ran it through a water chamber of some car outfit? Sprung 23 leaks, showing you there's 23 air holes, the same as 23 water holes. That's Saturn. I think they should have tried for Mars. That's a little hotter car. Huh? Pardon my sarcasm. I want to bring this home. This is my testimony, as sarcastic as it is, and ironic as it is, as funny as it is, as mean as it is, as rotten as it is. I'm standing with the Word of God, but this man right here. I'm reading it. Word by word. Raised up amongst them. I'm happy I'm amongst him. Those with him. Oh man, I'm happy to be called his friend. I'm happy to say I loved him and he loved me. I'm happy to say that you can bring anybody anytime you want, day or night, to my home, and I'll deal with them because I trust you. You don't use me. Many people are going to come on that great day having used God, and they're going to say, Lord, I cast out devils. He said, yeah, you used me. You know, I'm a pretty expensive kind of a fellow to use. Yeah. You never gave me my dues. You love the miracles, the loaves and fishes, but you laughed at the word. You're either a Trinitarian or a oneness, and I wasn't any of them. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. You either think you can use the Bible and interpret it any old way you want to interpret it. Like, notice I turned this book because that's the Bible to me. This is what it's taken out of here. All right, it's 20th century English, that's all it is. I don't worry about King James. He took it from King James. And he brought it down to Leavell. I'm just kidding. He brought it down to this 20th century world in which we live. All right. Anointed and vindicated right in under their noses. No, he said in the midst. There's a new expression called in your face. Right? Not new, they use it. In your face, mister. Want to make something of it? Stood right there and did it. Turned around and said, if I had not done the works no other man did, one of which was water into wine, that's nice, raising five dead, that's all right, but never was heard of a man born blind got his eyesight. Never was heard limbs were attached, and that the word maimed, limbs were attached. Never was heard. Now, if I had not done that, he said, you had not sinned, but now you've both seen and hated both me and my Father. From amongst the brethren. Who's this guy, anyway? What church does he go to? Where's his denomination card? How is he standing with the rest of the preachers? Yeah. He's just a Kentucky hillbilly, an illegitimate son that a Mary had and called him, you know. You think an illegitimate child would have that kind of power? Come on. Illegitimate child couldn't even go in the temple, let alone manifest the great power and authority of Almighty God. Picked that bunch of people up, mixed multitude, started out with him when they got across toward the promised land. Before they got there, his precious bride committed adultery with Moab. What did she do? She stopped and listened. Now, Moab was the fundamentalist of that day. His brother Branham would explain. They stopped to listen. His precious bride committed adultery with Moab. Tell me she didn't do it now. How did she do it? A lying prophet against the word of God. Yet he had all the signs, all the rituals. He was just as spiritual as Moses. Now he's talking in terms of having the mechanics. Expression. Ritualistic formulas. Look, listen. Listen close now. Here sat Israel in a camp. An interdenominational. In other words, independent and not joining anybody. Now let's go to Numbers 23. Brother Branham used this. I don't know where he used it, and I really am not concerned. I just know he used it, so I'm using it. 23 and 9. This is the prophecy of Balaam. And remember, he is a prophet. He can prophesy. He's anointed to prophesy. This prophecy is still coming to pass. And I don't care if it is. That's why God can say, depart from me, you that work iniquity. Have we not prophesied in thy name and it came to pass? Have we not had signs and wonders? Now listen. And here's what Balaam says. From the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. No alliances. Not recognized. Hey, not recognizing and not being recognized. Oh, Brother Bale, we ought to recognize everybody. Oh, yeah. Here comes the people on the day of the ark. Now, remember, Moses' Exodus is mentioned, but Noah's Ark is mentioned even more distinctly and crucially and stringently. Oh, yes, strict and restricting. Eight people make the ark. And I can see Noah saying, well, there's a nice bunch of people. I think we can get room for them. I know those people. They're the nicest people. In fact, I'm honest. When I was around making the ark, and I could get mad like a hot potato, but those men were so sweet and nice. I'm sure there's room in the ark. I'm going to tell you something. Noah was a separator because God's a separator. It was the word of God that separated Noah. And he did not recognize anything or anybody outside of the word. And his brother Branham said, how can he who believes all of the word have fellowship with him who believes only part of the word? Now look, I'm not trying to take statements like that and come against the other statement that says this. Brother Branham said, don't unchristianize anybody. Now my wife really loves to use that when it's proper, you know. I say proper because I think she got her own extra grind like I got mine to grind. So, you know, I think she's a little bit, you know, not hypocritical, but, you know, how am I going to explain it? If you don't know by now, you don't know, you don't even know yourself. In other words, we use certain things because we feel like using it. Now, I'm not going to unchristianize anybody because I'm going to tell you this. They are Christians. Why? Because they're not Muslims. They're not Hindus. They're not Taoists. They're not Confucianists. Oh, they're in confusion. They're Christians. But don't tell me they're bright. Listen, when Mary embraced Elizabeth, did she say, oh, Elizabeth, my cousin. We are one of the same blood. We are first cousins. Wonderful. And I know you're pregnant by the Holy Ghost just like me. Oh, brother. Oh, Elizabeth took Mary. Oh, Mary. I'm glad that you and Joseph finally got together. You're pregnant. Well, come on, read your Bible. I know I'm being rough and I'm being a little bit foolish with this in a way, but I'm not foolish. I'm bringing a point down this morning. Mary did not hug Elizabeth and say, oh, you're pregnant by the Holy Ghost. Elizabeth did not hug Mary and say, oh, you're pregnant by Joseph. Now, Mary is the type of the genuine bride. Am I supposed to be different? The Spirit in Mary recognized John the Baptist coming. And the Spirit of John the Baptist in the womb of Elizabeth recognized Mary. There's my John the Baptist. What am I supposed to do? If there's anything inside me, I got to recognize it. I'm not trying to be mean with anybody. People say, believe David, you built four walls around yourself. I say, yes, I'm built on the solid rock. I'm building my walls. I mean, I'm not going to fuss with anybody, but I'm not going to fuss with them unless they start fussing with me, which they usually do. I hear these doctrines and I come against them because they're not what Brother Branham taught. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians now. They're not numbered. So we go to 2 Corinthians and we're going to quit right here because it's a good time to pick up next Wednesday. We got enough strength to get back here, and I trust we certainly shall have. The 6th chapter, 2 Corinthians. And well, as I say, we're going to stop with this here. I see now here a lying prophet. Now watch. Israel came out, and they didn't come out far enough. The mixed multitude. Okay, it's the 15 to 18 verses. What concord hath Christ with Belial? What concord hath Moses with Balaam? What part as Moses as a believer with Balaam, which is an infidel? Now, the word, I think, comes from the word faithful, meaning Fidel Fidelis. As we get Castro's name, Fidel Castro, meaning faithful. What part as a believer with a man that's not in the faith? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, being baptized in the Holy Ghost. And God has said, I will dwell in them and walk thereby. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them. From whom? The false prophets. The organizations that are off the word. Those specifically at that time who did not believe Paul. So, brother, there, I believe they believe this, and they were okay, and I believe that. You are completely out of your spiritual gourd. You neither know who you are or where you are from. And I'm going to tell this morning, if you don't understand what I'm saying and understand that Paul has already taught these people as a vindicated person, as he showed them in Romans, as he showed them in Galatians, as he showed them in Corinth, they knew he's vindicated. And he's telling them flat one thing. You believe what I am teaching, or you are not it. Now, Brother Branham, now they get this flat. Brother Branham categorically said, the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing it. So I can hear. Brother Branham said, I preach what Paul preached. And another sermon he did, that was in the vision. Another time he said, I believe I'm saying what Paul's saying. Well, he better be saying it. Or he lied, and the camera lied, and the voice lied. And the whole thing's a bunch of lies. Oh, my God, here I am 79 years old and messed my whole life up. I could have been out there shooting people down like tenpins. I get angry. I can murder people. Why not murder them? What's the difference? Where's your conscience? Where's anything? Who needs anything? You see what I'm getting at? If you can't trust, thus saith the Lord. When the whatever's behind that voice brought it to pass, if that doesn't rock you, you've already been rocked. You're dead. You're full of rocks. You're the wrong kind of a rock. Yeah. Now, don't feel hurt. I'm not criticizing. I'm just telling you. I'm reading the scripture. I'll dwell in them, walk in them, and from the midst of those I raise up my prophet. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be you separated from these false prophets. And remember, the false prophets started in that fourth church age, Jezebel, and she, the whore, and her prostitute daughters are going to the great tribulation where they're burnt with fire, then raised from the dead with a body commensurate to be thrown into the lake of fire where the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. Now, how do you want to sit with those and just love them? Now, look, I'm not saying don't love them as though you don't feel sorry and you're not nice and all, but how are you going to eat and drink with them and have fellowship? Just invite a rapist into your house. A known criminal. You took all I got. And nothing. Well, your love wasn't worth a plug nickel, was it? When you knew the guy was a criminal. He said, come out and be a separate. And touch not the unclean. Well, just a minute. What's unclean? False prophets. Unbelievers. Wrong temple worshipers. These guys are hooked up with the devil. Now listen. The restorationist who believes all things restored, not the way we believe, but they believe everything is restored, like Booth Clibborn did, the friend of Brother Branham. Brother Branham never honored the guys, though he was a spiritual man that knew the real word of God. He just said he could go to the Greek and the Hebrew, speak seven languages, and if you tangled with him, you'd die the way he could handle the scripture. That's true. You could do it. But he believed that one day the devil and Jesus will walk hand in hand down the streets of glory. And he says, hey, don't have a thing to do with them now, because later on you'll be able to. Now let me tell you where you'll be able to do it. In the lake of fire. See, I know my Bible. You know your Bible. Anybody knows the Bible. And don't you touch those things. Don't you do it. And I will receive you. In other words, positively, unless there is a complete regeneration of the mind through repentance, there is no way that you can know you're a child of God, though you speak in tongues or anything else. There is no way. And you know today, brother, sister, it's face to face. We can know we can know as we are known in plain English. He will not say to you and me, depart from me, I never knew you. But we know today He knows us and we know Him.
Yeah. 1 Corinthians 13. I read it. Last night, read it again. For we know in part and prophesy in part. When that which is perfect is come, conclusion, it's all over, then that which in part should be done away. Seven church ages, seven message, all over. When I as a child understood as a child, thought as a child, when I came man, I put away childish things. And what's he talking about? The knowledge of revelation. But now, we see through a glass darkly. In other words, in a mirror and in a puzzle. There's a reflection. Something going on. Oh yes, we know it. But it is still a puzzle. Seven seals. Rip them off, face to face. You no longer know in part. You know in whole. What are you? Face to face. And now I know as I am known. And I know I'm not one of them to whom He said, depart from me, you the work of iniquity. I never knew you. I know that He knows me, and I know Him. You see what I'm talking about? Now the point is, can we see, do we believe it? I'll say, I believe that, sure. How sincere? Now that's the tricky part right there. How sincere? How sincere? Well, Brother Vail, you're not too sincere. I've already told you that. You're not telling me something new. I look at Brother Branham, but you see, Brother Sister, I never saw the pillar of fire. I sat there when he saw it. I never saw a person so scared in my life, not even an animal under penalty, his eyes darkening in terror. Brother Sister, you and I will not need that look of terror as we look at the pillar of fire. Let me tell you, that is not ours. But if we believe what He tells us, we are seeing God face to face. And we saw it when He said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. You're looking at me, aren't you? Now Thomas said, listen. He said, Lord, listen. You've got something going here. There's something great. But there's something, I just wish. When I see the Father, that's going to answer the whole question. I'll be satisfied. Can you do something about it? He said, hey, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And Brother Branham said, same thing. Whew. How many Branhamites read to believe that? Moses saw God face to face, and he was a pillar of fire. Moses was above prophets. Paul was above prophets, and William Branham, the three great prophets of all ages, 6,000 years, one for every 2,000 years, Moses, Paul, Branham. Oh, can't believe that. How can you believe Paul? You don't know that he was vindicated. Where were you? Fact. You're roughly 2,000 years from getting here in the stream of life. What do you know about Paul? Oh, Brother Dave, I just love Paul. But when Brother Branham, by thus saith the Lord, explains it, that's not the Paul I know. That's right. I agree with you. That's not the Paul that you know. Amen. That's not the God you know either. Yeah. Yeah, I said we'd quit. Oh, just a minute. Before we quit, how much time we got? Oh, it's time to quit. I tell you, I'll put a little mark right here. We'll go over this. We'll go over this here now. He wasn't in denominational. He was interdenominational. And we'll go up here where we check. We just make a little review of this. And I put the word here there. And we did wonderful. Like we covered what? Three paragraphs? Oh, that's okay. This one could last until the rapture. It doesn't bother me one little bit. Because, see, look, I can take any one sermon and go to the same place. Right to the complete revelation of the manifested God who proved by vindication He is here. Even let His picture be taken. Yeah. Saw the prophet. Yeah. Here, see me as saying the Father. You look at me, aren't you? Same thing. And the man says, if this isn't the real thing, I'll know it when it comes. You getting the full drift of it? Or you just think you are? You still playing church? You still don't know the difference between the hen and the egg? Baptizer and baptism? You know who's here? The same one who came to Moses, the same one who came to Paul. That one right there who dwelt in flesh and no longer keeps the flesh, that Son is on the throne, very much alive, very much the Son of God. Well, this Jesus, which simply means Jehovah Savior, God saved us by coming in that flesh, that one's flesh. You still know what I'm talking about? I know what I'm talking about. I'm not a prophet. I can't have his revelation in the sense that I know it just like William Branham. But if I believe him with all my heart, and I'm not going to turn from it, this is it. What do you tell a guy that's 79 years of age and doesn't necessarily want to die because I'm interested in living, but my back is so bad it can hardly carry me anywhere, so I'd just, instead of vegetating, I'd sooner die. Just be honest with you. Now, the vegetable hasn't got quite that rotten, but it's getting there. Now, where am I going to go if this isn't right? What am I going to do with my life? 22 years of age, I actually started preaching, though I preached before then. I went full time. What am I going to do with over 50 solid years? Is this the culmination of some stupid thing that came to me when I was a kid? Knowing there was a God somewhere and wondering about him? You could tell a man was preaching the truth, though I didn't understand the word he said, but I knew he had something. Is this a 79 years? Is this, I'm going to still look for something? You got to be kidding. I've either built the raft that's going to take me over the ark of safety like Noah, or I ain't going nowhere but down to come up in the second resurrection and go to hell. Yeah. You think this is just some platitude? I'm like the thief on the cross, who said, remember me. And he didn't have a prayer to get off the cross. Now, if that thief could see something in a crucified and dying Savior to make him know that this had to be the one, what are we turning that down for? For any evidence that Jesus gave that thief, hey, what that thief had, if it was soup, it'd be, like Brother Branham's proverb, it's as thin as the broth made from the shadow of a chicken that starved to death. This is roast beef, mashed potatoes, standing rib roast, by the way, with gravy. Garlic bread that tastes delicious. Asparagus in a butter and lemon sauce. Little baby peas, petit pois. And cheesecake 4 inches thick with fruit and whipped cream on top and an appetite to take it all in. The poor thief on the cross had the soup of the shadow of a chicken that started him. What do we got? And you say we can't believe and take that hook, line, and sinker and say, this is it or forget? Come on, there's something wrong somewhere, but it's not in this church. I'm marching, sing it, to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. How do I know we've approached unto it? We're not under judgment. It's something you can't touch or die. This is something you're in living contact with the mighty God.
Now, what are we fooling around? Let's rise and be dismissed before I tear the house down. I'm real Pentecostal now. You think Brother Branham said we couldn't shout? I show you we can shout. Heavenly Father, we're looking to you as we depart from this place. Or soon we'll have dinner out there. That's fine, and fellowship. But we know, God, the Word is real, Lord. You are real, and by your grace we are real, because if you are reality, you said, I am the way, the reality, and life. You being that, and we being of the same seed, then we also, Lord, are a part of reality, a part of the way, a part of that life, and would be manifested with you even as your Word said. And by grace, Lord, we know that is true. And like Brother Branham, we could say, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. By the grace of God, I'll not stand in the way. I believe this morning, Lord, we can say, perhaps it takes more humility. I don't know what it's going to take, but I believe, Lord, we could say we are bride. And by the grace of God, we will never think a thought contrary to it, or in any way stand against the Word of the living God, which has been revealed and vindicated, but stand with it, even those deep, strong sayings of which the prophet said that stumble people, literally as it were, not throwing them a curve, but showing the Word of God, and right there standing manifest, and people still turn from it, not understanding. Lord, we're a little bit like the man that said, I believe, help my unbelief. But in this respect, Lord, we're only saying this, Lord, we do believe. And we're anxious, Father, for the clearest and most wonderful understanding that you can give us, wherein, Lord, we stand in such a way that the revelation becomes deeper and more wonderful, more like the cyclotron, as the light begins to move and the light begins to form within us that new life, that resurrection life, Lord, which is going to take the dead out of the ground. We've got it now, that same life, Lord, that is going to turn the bride standing here in the immortal figure, mortal bodies, and be called to a wedding supper where we'll crown you King of Kings. You that we see not, that's invisible and no man can see. You, Lord, will incarnate yourself in that blessed body, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and all the sons shall stand round to crown him because of you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as the prophet said. That will be the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of David. That will be the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That will be the all in all. And Lord, we know that's the truth because your own Word says it, and it comes together so beautifully, so marvelously. We see it all, and we thank you, Lord, for allowing us this opportunity to have seen what actually Paul warned about. In the day of Israel, your people are going to wonder and detest it and leave it because a man declared it, a man revealed it. So, Father, today we thank you, and we don't necessarily ask you to know every mystery, to know everything, Father, because we know that that's in your hands, what you want to reveal, what you don't want to reveal. You're going to keep secret, which we appreciate. But we pray, Lord, for ourselves, and that is that we might be more sincere, absolutely more sincere and more amenable to just leaving our hearts and our minds open for your Word and drinking it in, say, yes, just the same as little Hattie Wright did that time. And she said, Brother Branham, that ain't nothing but the truth. Lord God, how she said that and why, no one will know except by predestinating power of the Holy Spirit at that moment to bring it to pass. And he turned and said, you can ask what you want. Right there. And Lord God, we know she never asked one thing outside of your Word, because that was the promises are apply the token to the family. Apply and bring them in. So Lord, we see evidence on every side that this is that hour. This is it. We have met with you, Lord, face to face. God help us. If there's anything in our lives that's holding it back, we pray, Lord, it shall be crucified unto death. And in no way, shape, and form, Lord, under any consideration whatsoever, will we give up our faith, the living Word made manifest to us. Unto thee we attribute glory and honor. May there not be one sick person amongst us, Brother Branham prayed. We pray the same thing. We want to say the same prayers, worship the same God, have the same Word, and then, Lord, have the same life. Not the prophetic ministry, but the same life of humility, temperance, and all of those marvelous virtues, O God, coming forth in these lives for one reason, and that is, Lord, that you said it. Be it unto us according to your Word. Now unto the King eternal and immortal and invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.